You're listening to the Douglas Jacoby Podcast. Here we bring you some of the material found on Douglas's website in podcast form. We hope that as you listen, you are challenged to think about faith.
Today, Douglas continues his series on the Sermon on the Mount,
now looking at anger. For more on this episode, follow the link in the show notes to Douglas's website. Now here's today's teaching.
Sermon on the Mount 14. In our previous talk, we looked at the Pharisees, who were often guilty of hypocrisy, outward focus instead of focusing on the heart, and many man-made rules, traditions that they considered in practice just as important as God's commandments, maybe even more so. Well, from this point on, Jesus is going to take up a number of points of law, that is, the law of Moses. None of these is non-trivial. That is, they're all vital. Murder, adultery, divorce, oaths, retaliation, enemies. These topics are all fundamental in their import and impact on our lives. Now, they're not all equally important, but they're all important. I got a message from a friend in our church in Atlanta recently. He wrote to me and he said, "I had a dream last night that you were going around teaching that the early church considered popcorn a sin and that we should all stop eating it immediately. I had a good laugh when I woke up." Well, I had a good laugh too. Of course, the early church, I don't think they had corn to pop. That came centuries later. But it is quite amazing some of the things that are considered important and yet they're more trivial. I remember once I visited a Restoration Movement church. This was when I had been a Christian a couple years, and I was traveling out of town. And very early on in the message, the preacher spoke of the evils of women wearing trousers, of playing cards, and going to the cinema. Now, of course, there are historical reasons for the points he made, but I was really disheartened because I had a guest with me and he was not very impressed. We major in minors instead of focusing where the Lord focused. You may feel, well, aren't they all equally important, all the commands? Well, no, they're not. And Jesus himself supports that, Matthew 23:23. Well, we're going to be looking at things in these next six podcasts that are quite serious. So let's begin. And today's passage is the first in a series where Jesus points to something in the law or something taught among the Jews, and then he contrasts it with his own kingdom teachings. And each time, he doesn't reject the law, but he goes even further than what the law technically requires. He focuses on the heart, on the inside. It's a longer passage today, so we'll break it into two. "You have heard that it was said by those of old, 'You will not kill,' and whoever kills will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother rashly will be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother racha will be in danger of the council. And whoever says fool will be in danger of hellfire." Now, remember, Jesus has just told his followers he's not coming to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. And he's giving us a great example here. Of course, the Old Testament commandment he's referring to is in the Ten Commandments, Exodus 20:13, you shall not murder. But rather than taking away that commandment or saying it's okay to murder, no, it's more the opposite. Jesus expands on it. He tells them they need to deal with the anger that could lead to murder. In fact, anger is wrong. The Apostle John speaks about that as well in 1 John 3:15. "Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life in him." And you also notice what Jesus does in each of these sections. He says, "You've heard this, but I say to you." And that formula, "but I say to you," establishes Jesus as the second Moses, another one of my podcasts or video sermons. He's the new lawgiver. And Matthew's gospel shows Jesus as parallel to and superior to Moses. He's not just on the same level, he's at a higher level. And he seems to have no hesitation to change the laws Moses gave, not to destroy them, but that they may be completed. They may be fulfilled. Now, of course, Jesus doesn't say anger is always sin. It's anger that's rash and vain, and maybe that is most forms of anger. Jesus himself, of course, was angry at times. He never sinned, but he was angry with religious leaders who were hard-hearted. Mark 3:5, and as the Apostle Paul tells us, there is such thing as a righteous anger. But when you're angry, don't sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Ephesians 4:26, and I think that's also Psalm 4:4. And then just a comment on racha and fool. I think we're probably off the mark if we're trying to somehow distinguish between the two. I think the footnote of the NIV says racha is an Aramaic term of contempt or something like that. But to call someone a fool is also a term of contempt. These are insults. Now, they're not technically profane. You know, these aren't like four-letter words, although racha and fool, I guess they are four-letter words. But you know what I mean. But they're disrespectful. And Christians are not to be disrespectful in how they address others, insiders or outsiders. All right, let's continue. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift before the altar and go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Agree with your adversary quickly while you are on the way with him, lest at any time the adversary delivers you to the judge, and the judge delivers you to the minister, and you are cast into prison. Truly, I say to you, you will by no means come out from there until you've paid the last penny. Okay, I think I'm reading in the New King James Version. Now, we may say, well, we don't have an altar today. Well, actually, the Bible says we do. We have an altar in heaven, Hebrews 13. And that altar is where our prayers go. Now, there's no point in offering a gift to God when we know that someone has something against us and we haven't tried to make it right. Under the law of Moses, God rejected sacrifices made with unclean hands. And when we're careless, negligent, or we just deliberately forget that there are outstanding issues and we're not trying to do what's right and to maintain peace, well, then that's just like that. We should leave our gift at the altar, so to speak. We should go deal with the relationship, and then we can have the kind of relationship with God that's desired. And another example, again, we don't have altars. Altars a central feature of Judaism, with the temple, of course, not the synagogues, because there they didn't do sacrifices. But in Christianity, the metaphor moves from altar to table. 1 Corinthians 11 calls us to discern the body. And that is something that's relational. It's not that there's no vertical divine dimension to communion. There is. But the focus of this section in 1 Corinthians, which is 8:1 to 11:1, is horizontal, loving our brothers and sisters, especially those who have less, caring for them, not showing contempt. So failure to discern the body in 1 Corinthians 11 is failure to appreciate the body of Christ. We're talking about other people. And then we also see in this paragraph that time is of the essence. Some really bad things could happen if we don't take these words seriously. There's also a parallel passage. Well, that's a sort of a parallel passage in Matthew 18. And that's the parable of the unmerciful servant. And I hope that you'll reread that after the podcast is over. Okay, some practicals. Considering what Jesus said about anger and insults, you know, respect and so forth, what should we do when there's a relational issue, when someone has something against us, or maybe we have something against someone else? I think it goes both ways. Jesus says that we should get right on it and be reconciled. The question is, are there people we need to initiate with? Even when you hear that question, does a face come to mind? Does a name come to mind? Through the years I've been a Christian, I've had to do this many times. Often the person with whom I've sought reconciliation lived in a different country from me. So sometimes it's costly to reconcile. But biblically speaking, it's costlier not to reconcile. After all, we are called to be peacemakers, Matthew 5:9. And you can't always make peace, as Paul noted in Romans, but as far as it depends on us, we should live in peace with everybody, with all people. Also, what about communion? Have you ever said no to communion? Have you left the meeting room, or have you not taken bread from the tray, or whatever the custom is? While we likely have been conditioned, I think most of us have been conditioned to feel that being unworthy of the body, it has something to do with personal sin. A sin like laziness or lust. But the question might be, when did we last refuse communion because of unfinished business with a brother or sister who had a problem with us? But that's the real work of the kingdom. It's more a corporate. It's more relational. It's not getting tangled up in webs of guilt for flagging discipleship or secret sin, but it's enabling relationships with others to be loving and strong, governed by the lordship of Jesus. This is what the kingdom work is about. So even if we're beginning to grow angry with someone, warning lights should be going off. Because usually, not always, but usually, that anger is born of self-interest and is sinful. Well, these are serious matters. They're not popcorn sins. We're going to continue in the next lesson as we focus on lust. But let's close now in prayer. Dear Lord, we need to be more self-controlled. Our emotions sometimes get away from us. And if we don't overreact, then we're repressing our emotions, not dealing with things. We admire and respect Jesus so much for the way he was just right. He had the emotions, he expressed them according to your will. He did all he could to be at peace with others. And he upheld the honor of your altar. Lord, help me, help everyone listening to this podcast to truly get hold of anger, particularly if that's a problem that's affecting families, children, spouses, friends, workmates. Give us the courage, if necessary, to not take of the cup and the bread and communion if there's work that needs to be done unfinished. Help us to be less self-focused and understand the relational corporate aspect of your kingdom. Lord, keep us pure. Prepare us as we continue to move slowly through the Sermon on the Mount. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you enjoyed Douglas's series on the Sermon on the Mount.
For additional notes and resources, be sure to check out Douglas's website in the show notes. The website has hundreds of articles, podcasts, and videos for you to access for free. You can also become a premium subscriber and gain access to thousands of online resources from Douglas's teaching ministry. Thanks again for listening.